This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and he joins us live in studio. Now, we used to do this every Tuesday at this time, but you're taking a bit of a hiatus so that you can run for school board. But when the election is over, win or lose, you'll be back in here every Tuesday, because I get emails from folks saying, where's Brian Wheeler? So, well, here you are today, but...
I think it was easier when I came every week, because then we could sort of... It was a relief valve, and, I could get all the stories out of the way and talk about them on the air, and now they sort of build up.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm about to explode today.
Between now and 6 o'clock, we have 50 million issues and stories that we want to get to. Let's start, when we're talking about elections, let's start with... the fact that we have some city council races and boards of supervisor races that are currently going on, which Charlottesville Tomorrow covers like C-SPAN. You're at all the events and you put all this stuff online. So fill us in on what's going there. What's going on with that?
Our election watch coverage is certainly available online at cvilletomorrow.org. And we're a nonpartisan organization. We're trying to cover all the candidates for just city council, just board of supervisors. I've gotten a number of emails from people saying, why aren't you covering this race or that race? And we just take that hyper-local focus on these decision makers because our issues are land use, transportation, and community design issues. So we're trying to get the candidates on record about those questions. And in fact, on our website, you can get audio, you can get video, written coverage of the upcoming elections. And we just finished our candidate interviews. And I got to tell you, this is a fascinating process that we go through each election. This is the third election I've done this now. And we interviewed each candidate. We asked them 17 questions. And some of them we gave them in advance. Others we didn't. We told them what the topics were, but we want to get a little more off-the-cuff kind of response.
Is that
response.
Like, what's your comfort food? What's in your CD player right now?
No, these are not the
favorite vacation
questions.
Spot.
These are, they have to work hard on these. I had a few candidates say they really had to do their homework.
And they get them in advance, right? So they can.
We give them the hard ones in advance.
Yeah.
I call them the hard ones.
Yeah.
And then
what's
we
an example of a hard question you ask the local candidates?
How are we going to pay for all the water and sewer needs that this community has?
Yeah.
That's a big one. And, I told one activist that we were going to ask that question, and he said, well, there's nobody in the community that can answer that question.
But I'm sure you got some answers for the folks.
Well, we at least got a snapshot of their knowledge at this point. And all these candidates are learning more as you go through a campaign because they're out there asking questions. A lot of these issues are right in front of the community right now being debated, and more information is coming out. There's a big meeting this week on the water supply plan where the Ravenna Water and Sewer Authority will outline some of those very challenges about funding it, phasing the water supply upgrades and things like that.
Yeah.
That's one example.
Now, all the questions that they answered, this is all, you're going to make this all public, right?
That's right. As of tonight, we will have on our website the Board of Supervisor candidate responses to these interviews, and we'll have the audio. And the audio is such that you can just click on it and listen to it. You don't need an iPod. Certainly, if you have an iPod and you train it to our site, it'll download it automatically. And then in time, in the next week, we'll have the transcripts. So if you don't want to listen over the computer, you can just download a PDF and read what each candidate had to say. We ask everyone the same exact questions, so that gives the public an opportunity to compare the candidates head-to-head.
Now, if you're not a internet expert, you would recommend that they call your office and you could walk somebody through it, because there's a lot of people out there listening who say, I'd like to look at this. I don't know the first thing about going to this website and downloading. I don't even know what a PDF is. So give them the number to your office, and I'm sure that somebody there can help somebody.
We'll be glad to field those calls. The number's 434, of course, 295-4955, and we'll be happy to help people through that. And also, those people that even don't want to use the computer, and I know there are a lot that don't, we will be mailing to every household late in October a voter guide, which will pull excerpts from these interviews, and we're going to let each candidate see the excerpts in advance. So again, we're nonpartisan. We're not picking a candidate. We're just trying to get an apples-to-apples comparison of where they are on this set of issues, which are important to our organization.
And the online, the URL, the web address is Charlottesville Tomorrow, cvilletomorrow.org, and the phone number again is 295-4955.
The other thing you'll see, Coy, on the Election Watch website is our coverage of the upcoming candidate forums. And believe it or not, there are 10 candidate forums scheduled.
Oh, gosh, you're kidding.
For the city and county.
Have we ever had that many?
Maybe
that's a lot, Brian.
Maybe when there are a lot of contested school board races.
Because they've already had some. Over the summer, they've already had some.
Well,
right?
We had the Farm Bureau had a candidate forum for the Board of Supervisors. That was the first one, and that video is available on our website. The transcript is almost ready. That was a long event, so it takes a while to transcribe it. But we will be doing the same treatment to every candidate forum, video, audio, transcript. So, again, I hope that you will come and ask questions at these candidate forums. And there's some in the city, there's some in the county, but in the event you can't, and a lot of people are really busy this time of year.
Yeah, and you have the complete calendar of these forums, so somebody can go online and find out what's going on,
right.
When, where, all that stuff.
And the next one is tomorrow during the day. The Senior Statesmen of Virginia are hosting forum for all of the city county candidates for city council or board of supervisors. So presumably they'll have 12 people there fielding questions for a couple hours.
Cool. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, joins me live in studio to talk growth and development.
I'm sorry, I was talking over my introduction there.
That's all right.
You got me thinking about the bridges around here, and our bridges just seem to keep running into things, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. The old Ivy Road Bridge got hit again.
And then you had the one over heading into Florida, the bridge over the railroad, and the railroad load shifted and one of the cars clipped. You know, that bridge, it was shut down for a while. That was like a month ago.
Oh, yeah.
Two months ago.
At WINA.com, Rob Graham went out and actually has close-up pictures of what actually happened yesterday to the old Ivy Road Bridge. And it doesn't look like a minor thing to me.
It seems like a pretty tall bridge. I mean, like, there's plenty of room as you're driving underneath it.
Evidently, it's like the corner train trestle, you know? It just keeps catching things.
Are they going to put one of those, you know, sirens on it that says warning approaching?
So everybody driving a U-Haul or a rider is going to think, what? No, what's that noise?
And then every time I'm on, also, some truck is spilling something. It's either milk up on Afton Mountain or...
Yeah, you remember that when they spilled the milk?
That happened twice.
Yeah, so, goodness gracious.
Dangerous.
Brian, what is all this about rural... I'm in danger of saying rural. Rural area protection in Albemarle County.
Well, it's something that certainly the public ranks very highly as a priority in Albemarle County. How do we protect the fields, farms, forest that make up the rural countryside? That's 95% of Albemarle County is designated to stay that way. And one of the challenges for this community is how do we best make that happen? And interestingly, the Board of Supervisors unanimously in past meetings has said that they strongly support that goal and that they want development in the rural countryside to be as limited as possible, recognizing people have property rights and existing development rights that allow them to develop their property. But outside of that, they want to keep it to a minimum to protect the countryside. It's important for a couple of reasons, Coy, not only for the scenery that we all enjoy, but also for our watershed. What we have with the water supply, and one of the reasons we've been challenged at times of drought, is that the South Fork Ravanna Reservoir is filling up with sediment. So it's losing capacity because of sediment that's washing in to our streams and rivers, and that's filling up that reservoir. Part of the 50-year water supply plan is to help, you know, mitigate that issue and create additional capacity. But that's a little bit of background about why this is important. The Board of Supervisors for the past couple of years has been trying to find the right approach to toughen up basically the development requirements. What does it take? Where are we going to allow development? And the issue in front of the Planning Commission tonight in the county are two proposed changes. One relates to critical slopes, so steep terrain, and whether driveways, for example, should be able to cross critical slopes. The concern about disturbing a critical slope is that you're opening it up for more erosion and sediment problems, that you could have more dirt, you know, washed into the streams and cause environmental degradation. The other issue has to do with family subdivision rights. How soon, in what situations, can you subdivide your rural property and create lots for your family members?
Right.
That's what they'll be talking about tonight. They've had a past public hearing on this. They've got another one scheduled. It's actually a work session tonight, but the Planning Commission is very good about allowing public comment. And in fact, I just left the Lane Auditorium, and they have opened up the entire building. They've got all the signs pointing to extra seating upstairs. So they're expecting a big crowd tonight for this.
So this is going to be huge tonight.
Could be. It was the last time.
What's the... Now, Charlottesville Tomorrow did a survey this summer to try to gauge sentiment here in the county for just this type of stuff. What did we learn there?
Well, one was no surprise that the public really values the rural countryside. 95.4% of the people we interviewed in our voter survey said that it was very important or somewhat important to their quality of life. So people really value that. But then we ask a deeper question about how they thought government was doing protecting the rural countryside. And there, only 48.9% of voters, so less than half the voters, said they were satisfied with government's efforts to protect the rural countryside. This is one opportunity for government to take some action tonight. There are some concerns. But since the last public hearing, this proposal has changed. And in some ways, they've tried to respond to the public concerns that were raised at the last public hearing. So I think most observers would say it's getting better, and now staff are recommending approval tonight for the Planning Commission. If the Planning Commission approves these ordinance changes, they will go to the Board of Supervisors in a public hearing, and then it'll be heard in front of them.
How soon would it go in front of a public hearing?
That's expected to be in October if this stays on schedule.
So what are you expecting tonight? I mean, you go to all these meetings. You know what these people are doing. What do you expect to see tonight at this big meeting, the Planning Commission in Albemarle County?
Well, I expect that there'll be some, I guess I'm expecting them to approve it. It's been fixed, so to speak. One of the issues they tried to address had to do with the family subdivisions, and it had to do with a 15-year holding period, so that if you bought a piece of land, you would have to wait 15 years before, you know, that could be immediately subdivided for family members. Again, what they're trying to do is prevent people from speculating, buying property, and immediately carving it up and saying it's for my family, but oh, then lo and behold, someone else buys it. So this is to put a sort of a holding pattern on that property. Right now it's 2 years. The proposal is to expand it to 15 years, but instead of having that be from the time you acquire it, what staff are recommending as an alternative is to have that 15-year period be start from basically the time you first got it. So there were people coming forward and saying, this property's been in our life, you know, ever since I've been alive. For generations, we've had this property. I shouldn't have to wait 15 more years just because I acquired it from my parents before I can give, you know, my kids something.
Which is an incredibly valid point, yeah.
So they've tried to make amends for that.
And that was the big concern, wasn't it, at that last public hearing that got so much attention when people came forward from the county. They were sort of ticked off that the local government was trying to tell them, what do you mean you're telling me I can't sell 5 acres back here on my property to my son so he and his new wife can build a house? This, what you're saying is this would try to alleviate that concern.
Well, I think one of the things you're referring to is the phasing ordinance that was in front of the county. And certainly that was last year. And there were a lot of people coming forward and saying that that was a problem, that if there was a time release formula on when they could create these lots, that that might hamper them from subdividing a parcel for their children. And what never really got talked about in that mix was that there were exemptions, there were waivers for immediate family members and for economic hardship. And that conversation never really happened at the Board of Supervisors level, I didn't really get the sense the public understood those provisions were there to help in those situations.
Yeah,
so tonight, that's, you know, one example of something they've improved, and I think it'll be approved, but you never know. I mean, if people come forward and there's still more concerns, then they might take some different action.
Even the people in the county who really don't want growth at all, even those hardline folks, my sense would be that they're not against some farmer selling 5 acres in the back, you know, 100, so that his son can build a house for he and his new wife. What they're against is the developers moving in and getting these farms and flipping them and creating new neighborhoods. And of course, the whole point of it is that these new neighborhoods require sewage and water and new roads and all of these other costs that the rest of us have to end up subsidizing.
Yep. And, you know, the other thing that people have said is that they've got property that is really challenged, and that the critical slope requirement, they would have to cross a critical slope to get to the place where they want to put a building. And again, I think the county has tried to build in exceptions here, where if you can show that, you know, the only way you could actually develop your property would be to cross this critical slope, and you can show that that's the only way it can happen,
then you can.
They're going to work with you on that.
Yeah.
So as you said, it's not trying to shut that down entirely. It's just trying to figure out what's the best way to do it.
Let's rejoin the conversation with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Big, big meeting tonight, Albemarle County Planning Commission. They're pulling out all the stops. They're opening every door, bringing in all the seats. It's not a public hearing. It's a work session, but chances are the public will speak. And this is regarding rural area protection. And you're saying that they have fixed all the things that the folks may have objected to in the past. That doesn't mean
I'm not saying that. I wouldn't make a definitive statement like that. I'm just saying they fixed a number of things.
Now, the SEVA Weekly has an article today. Flesh this out for us. Will Goldsmith at the SEVA Weekly talked about just this very issue in the county in the SEVA Weekly, which just came out today under the title, Soups Tried to Delay Rural Protections Vote. Those up for re-election concerned about details and constituents. You didn't write the article, but what's going on there?
Well, Mr. Goldsmith, writing for CVO Weekly, listened to some audio from the Board of Supervisors meeting last week, September 5th. And what he heard was them talking about when to have this vote on these rural area protection strategies. Again, we're talking about critical slopes and family subdivision rights. And the question was, should there be a work session next by the board once they get direction from the Planning Commission, or should they just have a public hearing and vote on it? And there were some members saying, given that there have been some changes made, and I talked about some of those in the previous segment, that there ought to be more time for them to contemplate it, have a work session, and see if that really addressed some of the feedback they are hearing from their constituents. Chairman Ken Boyd was the person who was making that argument. Other members of the board, mostly David Slutsky and Dennis Rooker, were saying, we've already talked about this. And in fact, I think what the public ought to keep in mind is it was a unanimous vote by this Board of Supervisors back in May that asked the Planning Commission to do this in the first place. So they said to the Planning Commission, it's our intent, you know, to pass these ordinance resolutions related to critical slopes and family subdivisions. We want you to put the language on that to make this happen. Now the Planning Commission, after tonight, is expected to come forward and say, here's how you do it, board. And then the question is, what does the board do next? I think there's been a good public process here. There's been public feedback in front of the Planning Commission. There have been adjustments made. And now the question is one of timing. Is it ready for the board to take a vote on it, or do they feel like they need more time? What the article refers to is who's up for re-election, what their position is on whether it should come sooner or later. There is an election. And, you know, as we were talking during the break, growth and development issues are certainly a big, big topic for this election.
Brian, is growth the issue in the county race this year in Albemarle County? I mean, because we just don't hear people talking about schools or public transportation. I mean, there's some of that in the city. In the city, there's, you know, some gang concerns and public transportation, and there's some development. But in the county, it seems to me that growth is really the issue for this election of 2007.
Well, certainly it is for me. But again, that's what I do all day long, is look at land use and transportation issues in the city and the county. Certainly, though, if you pick up the newspaper and read the articles you're seeing in the paper, if you look at the letters to the editor, this is on the minds of a lot of people. And you're right. Social service issues, police, fire, rescue, the schools, those have really not taken center stage. Not that they won't, you know, between now and the election. Certainly different people, candidates could bring those things up. But absolutely, there's been so much happening. And tonight's agenda, tomorrow night's agenda, which we'll talk about in a minute, for the Board of Supervisors, we've got the Biscuit Run development, Hollymead Town Center. Major, major developments are all coming to a head right now. The calendar has sort of conspired against them. And we have this perfect storm heading into the election of some major issues about to be decided.
And they're all growth issues. You know, Biscuit Run, the Pantops Master Plan, 29 North, Hollymead Town Center. These are all growth. And by default, growth, when we talk about growth issues, we talk about taxes, because as the stuff grows and you need more schools and more roads and more water, your taxes go up.
Yep. And it's in all compass points in the county. I mean, it's out at Glenmore. We've had a lot of discussion this year about Ravanna Village, the village of Ravanna, and expansion out of Glenmore. We've certainly had a lot of talk out at Crozet with the Old Trail development, the population question. We're back in the middle of a drought, and we have a lot of people asking questions about water. We see that Albemarle Place can't start building because of sewer capacity issues. So this issue of community infrastructure is front and center in people's minds. What are we doing to ensure we've got the water supply we need to support growth and to get us ready for a drought? What are we doing on the sewer side of the equation? How can we support these new developments? You know, people ask questions like, you know, why don't you just stop approving things if you're worried about the water supply? And, you know, in fact, we are okay on the water supply. I mean, it seems we're having to take, we need everyone in the community pulling together and conserving right now because, you know, the little rain we've had today, it doesn't do anything for the situation. But, you know, we know that there's a 50-year water supply plan. The community's working towards that. But again, then you get into the questions, how do we pay for all this stuff? We have a vision for Places 29 up the 29 North Corridor. It involves a lot of transportation projects, whether it's grade separation, you know, building overpasses at Hydraulic, at Rio, in front of Forest Lakes, in front of Hollymead Town Center, at Airport Road. There's six different grade separations being proposed. There's also Berkmar Drive extended. They need to build a new bridge.
We can't afford any of this
River.
Stuff. We can't afford all this stuff.
It's hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, that money's not there. It's not in Richmond, and it's not here.
And so that's,
I mean, you can draw a pretty map, and you can draw these pretty plans, but the money is not there. And yet, and that's what I don't understand. And I guess this particular board, Albemarle County Board, the way it's made up now, gets a lot of criticism, some of which I agree with. Personally, speaking for no one but myself, that they seem a little too gung-ho at times to support all these growth and this growth and development when you sort of sit back and scratch your head and say, how are we going to pay for this? Because even if a developer proffers some stuff, the proffers never even come close to paying what is the true cost to the community for the development.
Well, you do hear people, you know, raising questions about the master planning process. I think, you know, most observers would, you know, the people in Crozet would say, hey, we liked our master plan. We just don't like the fact that now it can have more than 12,000 people as part of it. Master planning in general is a great idea. I mean, it's saying let's get detailed in our orientation about how where we're going to put things, what our needs are, what the community's priorities are. And that's a good process for any community to go through. Of course, the people up on Pantops and out at Glenmore say, well, our community's already pretty well built out. What's left
to plan? Now you want
to
plan it?
What's left to plan? Certainly, people said that about Places 29. But, you know, what I realized as you're looking at 29 North is they see the potential for a lot more housing, a lot more businesses.
Who's the county?
The county, the consultants working on this. And they see it in terms of redevelopment. So taking a shopping center and, you know, leveling it and starting over and going higher, more density, going towards that neighborhood model. So that if you think outside the box like that, outside the big box we're used to, then you can see the potential for a lot more growth. Or I shouldn't say the potential for it, but the ability to absorb that. Now, the question is, when would that happen in this community? And I don't think that has been answered. You know, what are going to be the jobs that bring that many people here? And so when you have these master plans that call for thousands more people in Crozet, in Glenmore, up 29 North, in this urban ring, Biscuit Run, well, they're not all going to come at once. So we see this potential, but we have to be concerned, I think, as a community that we're not putting all our eggs in this basket to master plan something. And then, as you suggested, not being realistic about the infrastructure and the timelines. And so you don't want to raise expectations for the community and say, hey, yeah, we have a 20-year plan for 29. But, you know, in reality, people aren't going to move here. No, we're not going to build those interchanges because we don't have money.
Yeah. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. You mentioned Biscuit Run, Hollymead Town Center. What's going on with those? Because aren't those the ones that are having public hearings tomorrow?
Yes.
Tomorrow's like public hearing crazy day, isn't it?
It is. Starting at 6 o'clock, the Board of Supervisors is having a mega evening. I don't expect to leave until after midnight.
You're going to be up all night, tonight and tomorrow night.
Well, that's my job, and I love it. We love this public policy stuff. So tomorrow, the Board of Supervisors is having the big public hearing on Biscuit Run. So this is the big one. Now, I'm not expecting a vote on Biscuit Run because the staff are recommending against approval at this point. One of the reasons is they did not get the proffers until last week. So the proffers are the developers, you know, here's how I'm going to mitigate the impact of my development. And as you and I have talked about a lot on the air, the proffers offers go back and forth, get negotiated, and this has been an evolving process.
And there's a county rule now that says you have to get your proffers in written form at least 9 days prior to a public hearing.
That's right. And that would have been the day they were submitted last week. So they've hit the 9 day mark, is my understanding. But staff are saying we haven't had time to read this.
Yeah. Wendell Wood handed in his proffers just a few hours before a meeting, and he still got approved.
Well, that development was of a little different scale. But, you know, speaking of Wendell Wood and Hallamead Town Center, Hallamead Town Center is also on the agenda. Coy, in our interviews with the candidates, and I hope people will listen to these things, it's different when you listen and hear them speak in their own voice than reading it. It's really interesting. And we were up in Northern Virginia last weekend, and driving up and driving back, I listened to all the candidates running for Board of Supervisors. And it's fascinating. And one of the things I heard them all saying is they want to hear from the public. They want to hear from their constituents. One of them talked about how his vote on the phasing issue, or the lack of a vote on that issue, came down to the number of people who came to a public hearing and spoke against it. Two of them didn't want to talk about Biscuit Run because it hadn't had a public hearing yet. So they are saying this is really important. We need the public to come out and tell us what you think. So I would encourage the public to do that, whether you're for it or against it, because it carries a lot of weight with these people running for office and these people already in office who will be probably voting on this before the election.
Which are the ones that are... Give us a quick snapshot of the county here and who's running for re-election.
The three candidates running that are incumbents running for re-election are Lindsay Doyer in the Scottsville District, Dave Wyant in Whitehall, and Ken Boyd in the Ravana District.
And they all have opponents, right?
And those are the three incumbents. They all have opponents. And Ann Malik is the opponent in Whitehall, Democrat running against Dave Wyant, the Republican. Marsha Joseph in Ravana running against Ken Boyd. And then Lindsay Doyer has two opponents, Kevin Fletcher and Denny King, both independents.
Well, if we get audio from your interviews, we could just play them on this program, couldn't we?
Sure, we can put some sound bites together.
Yeah, let's
because
do that.
We won't be able to get to all the questions in our voter guide. So I think that would be a good use of radio time to share their voices.
Well, that's the joy of local radio.
But anyway, I would just, you know, again, plug that people should come to this public hearing.
And remind us, what is it?
Yeah, it's 6 o'clock tomorrow night at Lane Auditorium in the County Office Building. And it's Hallamead Town Center. There's portions of Hallamead Town Center.
And Hallamead Town Center, of course, is the Target Harris Teeter thing.
That's right. And there are big portions of it that have not been rezoned yet. So what's in front of them are two parcels, two parts called Area A1 and A2. Area A2 has 12,028 homes being proposed. So it's a big deal. And
they're building something up behind it now. What is
that?
That's
something different.
What's that? Do you know?
That's more housing.
They're building houses up there now. Mm-hmm. And Wendell Wood, the developer, wants to get approval to build 12,000 more?
Yes. And I'm not sure Wendell's the principal in this project. Certainly he was involved at one time. So I couldn't say that for a fact.
So what's the total build out of the Hallamead Town Center just in terms of houses?
Well, you know, Coy, you ask these tough questions.
Sorry about that.
I don't know if I have that handy. But it's
obviously
a lot.
Many, many thousands.
Well, you know, right now the commercial came forward first, and so the residential piece is playing catch up. And what the county wants to see is that be a complete community. And so I think they are inclined to support that. There's actually some question by some of the supervisors, and there was not consensus. There were not four votes to delay this, but there was a suggestion made to delay the further commercial development in Hallamead Town Center until the housing caught up. So those are the types of things they're looking at.
Well, that would be in fitting with this whole philosophy of the neighborhood model, that you don't have one outpace the other, right? And you sort of build them in tandem.
Well, and that's why they're looking at, in Biscuit Run, having phasing of the development, getting the developer to commit in the proffers to do certain areas before others. One thing I would say that was interesting, I was surprised when the supervisors talked about Places 29 last week, and I thought grade separation would be a big debate, but it really wasn't. There seems to be consensus by the Board of Supervisors that building Berkmar Drive extended, so going from like the Sam's Club up to Hallamead Town Center, is the parallel road that they want to build to help alleviate congestion on 29.
And so then, you'd be able to drive from like the Sam's Club parking lot right in there, and go north through the woods over the river parallel to 29.
That's right.
Up to the target.
That's right. And grade separation would allow people coming out of Forest Lakes and Hollymead to cross over 29, get on Berkmar, you know, go down to the Lowe's, the Kroger, the Starbucks, the Radio Shack,
that'd
whatever,
be cool.
And not ever get on 29. So yeah. that's where they're heading with that. I thought that was going to be a big controversy. It wasn't. And that's another issue we're following very closely.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler. Let's go to the phones really quick. Jennifer's on line one in Charlottesville. Jennifer, go on right ahead. You're on with Brian Wheeler.
Hey, Coy and Brian. How are y'all doing?
Very good.
Good.
My question is with respect to the vision that the supervisors hold, the incumbents specifically, because as they want to hear from the public, they say the public is instrumental in these decisions. And, of course, we hope that that's true. But at the same time, shouldn't the supervisors be articulating a vision?
Well, that's a good point. And some of them chose to do that in response to our questions, and we can let the public judge that vision that we've documented. Certainly, there'll be other candidate forums where that question can be asked. Absolutely, I think you're right. And then when they ask for public feedback and get it, you also have to keep in mind that you hear from some people at a public hearing, other people are never going to come to a public hearing. And candidates and elected officials have to be out there trying to figure out ways to get that public feedback as well.
Thank you.
Yep.
Jen, thanks so much for the call. We've been talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. I've got about 30 seconds left. Anything else in the calendar that, and of course, you can get a complete calendar at SevilleTomorrow.org. But
yeah,
let's
plug a city event. Next week, the Fry Springs Neighborhood Association is holding the first city council candidate forum. That'll be September 20th, 7 p.m. at the Fry Springs Beach Club. So these city races are going to be taking off as well. That same evening, I'll be talking about Charlottesville Tomorrow's Survey 2007 at a meeting at Westminster Presbyterian Church at 7:30. Again, that's September 20th, and that's Dennis Rooker will be there, Jay Wheeler from the Blue Ridge Home Builders. So there's lots going on in the community. Check out our calendar.
Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SevilleTomorrow.org. Brian, thank you so much, and good luck in the next 48 hours. You're going to be mighty, mighty busy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.